Parshas Pinchas is Yom Teruah. And the Gemara is bothered, why exactly is that distinction? The Gemara suggests something at first glance that seems to be a beautiful resolution. You know, it depends. Isn't this true when it comes to our davening, when it comes to Kiddush? After all that, if it's during the week and we sound the shofar, it's a Yom Teruah. If, however, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, there is no Tekiah Shofar, and therefore Zichron Teruah. And therefore, maybe our Nusach of Kiddush, of Tefillah, reflects these two psukim. If you look in Yerushalmi, that's the answer. The Bavli raises a very basic question. How in the world can this be? Because in Mikdash, they used to sound the shofar, even on Shabbos as well. If this was really a Din D'Oraisa, that there is no Tekiah Shofar when Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, that would not only be true outside of Mikdash, but even the Mikdash itself. So therefore, it must be that categorically we always sound the shofar, even on Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah is always a day of Yom Teruah. Why is it then that we do not go ahead and blow the shofar on Shabbos? That the Gemara writes is a din d'rabbanan. That's a gzeira d'rabba. We're concerned of the possibility of chilul Shabbos. Shema yavirena daramos b'shisa rabim. And therefore midrabbanan. That's a fascinating model. Yesh koach biyad chachamim lakor dover min haTorah. The sugi of almost of tzadikim abeis. That sometimes the Chum can tell you not to perform a mitzvah. Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, Sukkot falls on Shabbos. We don't fulfill the dinim d'oraisa of tkiyah shofar or netilas leruv. There is an interesting chiddush that you find already in Rishonim. The Goyone Hashas discusses this, and that is that maybe one could argue that that really is a din d'oraisa. And the Gzeira D'Rabba is just Taima Dikra. And that really would account for the Psukim. Sometimes the Torah itself has a Siyag. Don't do A because it could lead to B. The Ran writes, don't possess Chametz on Pesach because you may end up eating Chametz the Pesach. A concept of a Siyag D'Araisa. An interesting possible Chiddush already found in Rishonim. That maybe Shema Yavenu is not just a Gzeirat Rabbanan, but it's the time of Dekra of Yom Teruah and Zichron Teruah, and then you can understand these two psukim. But we assume halacha is simply not that case, that midaraisa you're obligated to blow shofar ben b'Shabbos, ben b'Chol, ben b'Mikdash, even outside of the Mikdash. And if that really is true, no doubt it begs the question then, how do you account for the posuk of Zichron Teruah? If you're always obligated to sound the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, even if it falls out on Shabbos, so therefore Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Teruah. How do you account for the pasuk in Parsha somewhere that tells us Zichron Teruah? Well, Slavetchik would often explain as follows that there are different models of mitzvahs in the Torah Hashem. A classic example of a mitzvah. Let's take the case of Achilas Matzah. If I were to ask you that, how do you perform the mitzvah? What is the Maisa HaMitzvah? The answer is very simply, but Erev Toch L'Matzos, eating matzah. And if I were to ask you, what is the Kiyum HaMitzvah? How do you fulfill the mitzvah? You would probably look at me and say, they're one and the same. That simultaneous with the act of Achilas Matzah is the Maisa HaMitzvah. The act of Achilas Matzah is also the Kiyum HaMitzvah. And therefore, that typically is true of the mitzvah Satorah. But you know, there are certain mitzvahs that maybe one indeed could distinguish. Is there a Maisa mitzvah? That certainly is true. But you know what? There's more than just the act. More than just the Maisa mitzvah. There is an element of a Kiyum HaMitzvah. A Kiyum Shebelev. That the act of the mitzvah is supposed to create, it's supposed to produce, it's supposed to induce a certain feeling, a certain sensation, a certain awareness, a certain remembrance. You know, if I were to ask you, for example, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif? Oh, so you'll tell me, you know, look at the Sugim Sachim, the Rambam, Perek Vav Hilchos Yontif. So many details in terms of how you fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha. Amachlokas the Rambam and Tosus, whether Simcha Bizman Hazeh, without a Beis Hamikdash, is Daraisa, is it the Rabbanan? But if I were to ask you, but what is the fulfillment of Simcha? V'samachta v'chagecha. Wouldn't you argue that aside from having a Suda, and aside from having basar, and aside from consuming yayin, but the simcha is something that you feel internally. There's a kiyum shebelev when it comes to the mitzvah of simcha. Or the Mishnah tells us, Rachmana Litzlan, when it comes to avelus, there are many nihuge avelus, that's clear. But the Mishnah tells us, ein aninus ela belev. The real expression of avelus and aninus is the crushing feeling that the avel experiences. Of course, he sits on the floor, and of course he rips kriya, but the kiyum of avelus is something that a person feels internally. If I were to ask you about kriya shema, the maisa mitzvah is the kriya saparsha, reciting the parsha of kriya shema. 4 days in Rosh Hashanah, either the first pasuk, the first parsha, 2 parshios, 3 parshios. But if I were to ask you, what is the kiyum hamitzvah of kriya shema, isn't it? Kabbalah samach l'shamayim. It's not merely a recitation of words, but rather it's an emotive response. It's a recognition. It's an awareness, a mindset, a consciousness. Reb Chaim writes, the same thing certainly is true when it comes to tefillah. That, of course, there is a structure of tefillah. Shevach, bakasha, hodah, that's clear. But the essence of tefillah is amida lifnei hashchina. After all, that is the kiyum hamitzvah of tefillah. It's not merely to recite the words, but it's to experience tefillah. And now I'll ask you the following. So what about when it comes to tekiah shel? Is that like tefillah or kriya shema, or is that like achilas matzah? If the Torah would only tell us that yom tshu yelachem, I would argue there is a simple maisa mitzvah. The tekiah shofar, or the shmiah sakol, and with that a person fulfills the mitzvah. But now the Torah tells us, you know, there's another pasuk. It's not just simply yom shua, but rather it's zichron shua. Zichron shua addresses the remembrance, the impression, the significance, not merely the act of. And these are two elements of the mitzvah of tekiah shofar. There is a maisa mitzvah that certainly is true, the tekiah shofar, or according to the Rambam, the shmiyas hakol, but yet it doesn't end there. That's the starting point, but it has to make a lasting impression, and that is zichron shua, the remembrance of. And this is a commonality between the mitzvah of tefillah and the mitzvah of shofar. Both of them serve as an example where there is a kiyum of avodah shebelev. In fact, the mitzvah of tefillah on Rosh Hashanah and the tekiah shofar are not absolutely independent. You know, there's a stunning chiddush of the Baal HaMor. It's found in Daf Yud Beis and Daf Yarif, where the Baal HaMor points out as follows. There are different sets of tekiah shofar, as we know, right? The sugya in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin. And if I were to ask you, what is the bracha on the mitzvah of shofar? You know, it's somewhat surprising. You look throughout all Shas, you don't find a nusach ha-bracha. And what is the nusach ha-bracha on tekiah shofar? You know what? It's really not at all clear. You look at the Rosh Shimsachim, Perek Aleph, and Simen Yud, the Rosh and Rosh Hashanah, Perek Dalet, Simen Yud, many different shitas. What is the nusach ha-bracha? A machlokas whether the reference, the verb, is lishmoa or litkoa, and a machlokas, what is the prefix? Is it al or is it li? But it's somewhat surprising that, you know, you have a whole mesechta devoted to Rosh Hashanah, and you have the 3rd and 4th parak that discusses so many details of tekiyos. You have so many sugyas of birkas hamitzvah, and the Gemara doesn't reference the bracha, the mitzvah, tekiah shofar. How do you understand that absence, that omission? So the Baal HaMor writes something incredibly striking. You know what? Midina de Gemara, there was no bracha. There was no bracha on the mitzvah of tekiah shofar. Why is that true? Because the Baal HaMor writes the following. When is the first time that you would sound the shofar? Oh, for us, obviously, after laning, before Musaf. The Baal HaMor writes no. That was not true, Midina de Gemara. They didn't have those tekiyos. The first tekiyos, the Baal HaMor writes, were the tekiyos of Musaf. Those were the first tekiyos, the tekiyos of Musaf. They used to blow during Musaf, and then they used to have a series of kalos after Musaf. And that's the reference of Tkiyas Demiyushav and Tkiyas Demiyumad. What about the Tkiyas that we have right after laning? The Baal HaMor writes that was a much later takana. Because imagine, you're going to come to shul bright and early, and Tkiyas is not going to be until Musaf. In most communities, Chazar HaSashatz of Musaf. You can be in shul for hours and hours and hours and not hear a single call. The Baal HaMor writes that realized there could be an individual who was not so well, there could be elderly individuals who were present, they would have to leave shul a little bit earlier, they would spend hours in shul, they wouldn't even hear a single call. Oh, so the Baal HaMor writes, later, not Medina de Gemara. You know, we had to solve that difficulty. And you know what we did? We instituted 30 kolos earlier, after Kriyas HaTorah. But that was a later takana. That is not the reference of the Gemara to the Tkiyos Demiyushav, the Tkiyos Demiyumad. So the Baal HaMor now writes the following. That means that all of a sudden now they're tkiyos that are standalone. They're not in the structure of tefillah. So you know what? Now it became necessary to institute a bracha on tkiyah shofar. Midina de Gemara, there wasn't a bracha. Why? Because the Baal HaMor writes something incredible. The Malchiyos Sichronos and Shofros, the Shmona Esrei, served as the bracha for tkiyah shofar. Served as the bracha for tkiyah shofar. And Medina de Gemara, that's the first time you would sound the shofar, those were the brachos. But once there was a later takana that required it earlier tkiyah shofar, all of a sudden now it was a double shift. An earlier set of tkiyos, and now a need for a bracha, and hence the machlokes, Gaon and Rishonim, what would that nusach ha-bracha be? That's a stunning comment to the Baal HaMor. There were no brachos, because the Shmona Esrei served as the Birchas HaMitzvah for the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. That's something which is stunning. Imagine I would tell you that, you know what, you daven Marev, you daven Shmona Esrei, don't recite a bracha on the mitzvah of Matzah. Don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah on Sukkah because you daven. How can you argue that don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah on Shofar because of Shmona Esrei? That's because clearly the link between the brachas of Malchi, Sichonos, and Shofros, and the Tkiyah Shofar. That's part of the Avodah Shebaleiv. There's a Kiyum Tefillah of the Kolos of Shofar. It's not just simply a standalone Maisa HaMitzvah. When the Gemara describes in Rosh Hashanah Chavav that it's necessary that the Shofar has to be bent. You don't go ahead and use a flute for a Shofar. But it has to be something that is curled, that is bent. Why exactly is that true? The Gemara tells us that the more a person is bent, the more impactful, the more effective. Rashi writes one word, but a critical word. Rashi writes, betfilasa. The shape of the shofar is supposed to represent the posture of an individual who is machniya himself. He bends before HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he davens. Rashi writes, the shape of the shofar is supposed to reflect that kiyum of tefillah itself. All of that is part of the concept of zichron shuruah. Rosh Levechik once pointed out, we look in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chavav Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us that there are many different horns that can be used for a shofar, but you can't use a keren shofar. That cannot be used. Why not? The Gemara says that's reminiscent of the egel hazahav. And therefore, ein kategor nasa senegor. We don't want to use as the Chefter Shal Mitzvah, shofar, which is associated in any shape or form with the Cheta Ego. So don't use that animal as the source of your shofar. Comparable, the Gemara says, to Avodas Yom HaKippurim, where the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear big day Zahav, because ein kategor nasa senegor, reminiscent of the Egel HaZahav. The Gemara has an obvious question. Is it really true on Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear big day zav? He doesn't wear big day zav when he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But otherwise, yes. So don't you see that this concern of being reminiscent of is only true when it comes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It doesn't apply elsewhere. You know what the Gemara answers? shofar is somewhat different. Kevan v'lezikaronu kilifnimdam. Tkiya shofar is comparable to davodas kohen gadol lifnai v'lifnim. Why is that true? Kevan v'lezikaronu. Because of zikaron, of zichron shrua. You know, the Gemara Brachos Naflame tells us, when a person davens, the tefillah is mechuvan, kenegen, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And therefore, that's true of the kol tefillah of shofar. And therefore, what is true of tefillah is true of shofar. And therefore, ein kategor, nasa senegor. You know, we discussed last year, when we were learning Bava Kama, many of the sugyas of mitzvah haba be'aveda. And we discussed the following, a very simple issue. Does mitzvah haba be'aveda apply to every single mitzvah? Tosus is bothered, sukkah daftes, that you can't use a stolen sukkah, but the Gemara quotes a pasuk for that. Chag ha-sukkos tasalucha. The Gemara doesn't simply say mitzvah haba be'aveda. So why do you need a pasuk? What's wrong with just simply arguing that you're never allowed to perform a mitzvah via an aveira? Why is a pasuk necessary? As Tosfos Iskasha, Sukkah Davtes. If you look in the Ritva is in two places. Sukkah Davtes, Sukkah later, Daf Lamed Aleph. The Ritva writes an incredible teretz in the name of the Baal Yad Tosfos. That mitzvah haba be'aveira doesn't apply to every mitzvah. It only applies to a select class of mitzvahs. Doesn't apply to every mitzvah. What is its source? Karban. Karban. Oh, a karban. Mitzvah babi aveira. Why is that true? Because the Ritva writes the name of Tosus because a karban is an attempt. L'ratso nifnei Hashem. A karban is bolaratzos. A karban is part of our supplication. Ritzui. That so to speak we reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to do that, al yedei aveira, that is out of the pale. How can one do so? A mitzvah which is balaratzos, that's subject to mitzvah babi aveira. But I wouldn't say that about sukkah. Sukkah is a mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. And if there was an apasuk, I would argue that maybe mitzvah babi aveira doesn't apply to a mitzvah yeshiva. It applies to an offering of a karban. Wow. Take a look at the Ritva. The Ritva writes, it's not limited to karban. I'll give you another one or two examples. You look at the Ritva Daftes, the Ritva gives one more example. Lulav. Lulav. Lulav is not just mitzvah smetiva. But lulav also has an element of tefillah associated with it. That's not so surprising for us, no? Hoshanos, Hallel, Nanuim. We incorporate the Dalet Minim into our tefillah. The Ritva writes such a beautiful chiddush that lulav and esrog is balaratzos. Balaratzos. You know, you can't use a dried up lulav, a lulav yavish, no? Why exactly is that true? Ooh, Yerushalmi, Balamor, Rabbeinu Chananel, lo hameisi mihaluka. No? Lo hameisi mihaluka. You can't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with something that's dead, a dead branch, no? What does lulav have to do with lo hameisi mihaluka? It's an opportunity of halal, of hodah. It is balar atzos. The Ritva writes what's true of karban is true of lulav as well. And therefore, it's not surprising. We incorporate the lulav into our tefillah as well. And when you look at the Ritva later, daf lamed aleph, the Ritva gives you a third example. Not only karban, not only lulav, but shofar. Shofar is a mitzvah which is balar atzos. It's not just a mitzvah or simply a gzeres hakasuk that you have to hear the kolos of the shofar, but it's part of the tefillah sayom. It's balaratzos. And therefore, in principle, I would apply the concept of mitzvah babi avera even to a shofar itself. The Ritva is mefurish, that aside from the act of shofar, but it's an attempt of l'ratzon, lifnei Hashem. Maybe one of the differences would be as follows. Let's assume a person eats matzah without kavanah. You know, machlokes, are yotzei, you're not yotzei. It's fascinating. It's Machlokas Tanai, Machlokas Samurai, Machlokas Rishonim. Today is in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Samach, Nochas Kriyashma. How to Paskin? When it comes to mitzvos Srichos Kavana, mitzvos Ein Srichos Kavana. How does the Rambam Paskin, Perakvavo, Chamitza Matzah? The Rambam writes, if you eat matzah without Kavana, you're Yotze. I would say, okay, the Rambam holds that, you know what, that mitzvos Ein Srichos Kavana. Take a look at the Rambam, Perakvavo, Zifel Shofar. The Rambam writes that Shofar requires Kavana. Without Kavana, you're not Yotze. The Magid Mishnah is bothered by that Stiras Rambam. That's Stiras Rambam. Let me ask you, Reb Chaim, what would you say about tefillah? Good, there's a machlokas, tanaim, amaraim, rishonim, today is mechaber, whether mitzvah srichos, mitzvah ain't srichos kavana. So a person davens with no kavana whatsoever. No? You're going to tell me, okay, mitzvah ain't srichos kavana? Reb Chaim writes, certainly not. Clear in the Rambam. That what do you mean? I can understand matzah without kavana. Tefillah without kavana. Avodah shebelev without kavana. Tefillah without kavana, the Rambam writes, is not tefillah. It's not a matter of tefillah, but you lacked kavana. Isn't that the essence of tefillah? How can you have tefillah without kavana saleh? Ula ovdo b'chol avavchem. Avodah shebelev without kavana. Isn't it clear that there's certain mitzvos, by essence, by definition, require kavana? Oh, so maybe that's true when it comes to shofar. Maybe it's not so surprising that even if the Rambam will hold when it comes to matzah, that mitzvos ain't srichos kavana. No, but not true. Not true when it comes to the case of tkiyah shofar. Their kavana is absolutely necessary. If I were to ask you where does this stem from, I would say, you know, if the Torah only said yom shuv, so maybe one would argue that, yeah, it was a day that was replete with tkiyah shofar. But there's a kiyum of zichron shuv. Zichron means the impression, the remembrance, the awareness, the consciousness, without any kavana whatsoever. A person just walking and incidentally happens to hear a call. That is the meaning of zichron shuva. And therefore the psukim of yom shuva, zichron shuva, point to two dimensions, two elements, two kiyumim of the mitzvah of shofar. Not Shabbos versus chol, that's a din derabanan, a gzeira deraba. But two incredibly important elements of tkiyah shofar itself. That it's not just simply a maisa mitzvah, but indeed there is a kiyum shebelev. When you look in Rashi and Parshas Emor on the pasuk of zichron shuva, you know what Rashi writes? Tefillah. Zichronos and shofros. Rashi references tefillah. That's the meaning of zichron shuva. Poshur pshat, it seems according to Rashi Shita, that Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros is a din daraisa. It's a din daraisa. Not just to hear the kolos, but the tefillah sayom is a din daraisa. I remember Rav Slavetchik pointed out, this is very difficult, because there is a Gemara, the very end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Daled, where the Gemara says the following. A person has to decide where is he going to position himself for Rosh Hashanah. In one city or another city. What's the problem? City A has a shofar, but they don't have tefillah. They don't have a machzor. City B has the machzor, but they don't have shofar. So I have to choose between shofar versus malchus, zichronos, and shofros. Okay? So the Gemara writes, that's obvious. Shofar. Because shofar is daraisa. And malchus, zichronos, and shofros is only a din, the rabbanon. The Gemara goes a step further. You know what? That if one place has the machzor, the other place may have a shofar. Safek. Go to the place that may have the shofar. The safek daraisa would outweigh the vaday derabanan. But isn't it explicit in the Gemara then that malchus, zichronos, and shofros is only derabanan? Yeah, but how can Rashi say derabanan? That's zichron shua. Is referring to zichronos and shofros. How can you argue that's only considered to be a din derabanan? Slavetchik suggested the following teretz. Malchus, zichronos, and shofros, yes, is a din daraisa, but when? Only when it's accompanied by the kol shofar. When you have the kol shofar, it elevates the tefillah as the tefillah daraisa of zichron shua. For that community that didn't have a shofar, it's not just simply that they don't have the shofar. But now the tefillah is impaired because the full kiyum of tefillah is only what's accompanied by tekiyah shofar. And that's critical when it comes to the mitzvah of shofar. There's a ma'isa mitzvah that certainly is true, but the impression of shofar is something that is absolutely critical. That's not at all incidental. And that is the two psukim of Yom Tshuva and Zichron Tshuva. You know, the ma'isa mitzvah of tekiyas shofar, but the shmias hakol speaks beyond just simply blowing the shofar. It means it has to resonate. It has to make an impression. It has to have a lasting effect. It has to be impactful. You know, the Rambam, Nilchos Tshuva, that after all, mitzvah shofar, the Rambam writes, Afal pi shegzeres hakosuvi, it's a posuk. But the Rambam writes, but realize there's more to shofar than simply the posuk. Remez yeshbo. Uri yesheni mishanaschem. Nirdamin akitsu miturdenaschem. You know, we have a tendency of dozing off, that we fall asleep. We become oblivious to our mission. And the kol shofar is a wake-up call. The Rambam writes, it's not just simply gzeres hakosuv, but remez yeshbo. You know, we recite the pasuk in describing Rosh Hashanah, ki chok li Yisrael mishpat elokei Yaakov. No? Sometimes kichok li Yisrael. We treat shofar as a chok. It's a gzeres hakosuv that you have to hear the kolos of the shofar. But realize mishpat elokei Yaakov. Kadosh Baruch Hu desires that the kol shofar is not just a gzeres hakosuv, but rather it's a mishpat. It's something which is uri yesheni mishanaschem. You have to recognize the significance of it. And that's something which is absolutely critical. That this is considered to be a speechless, a wordless tefillah. Because, you know, it's so difficult sometimes during the Imei Hadin to be able to articulate appropriately the essence of tefillah. But that is the ability that shofar allows us. That the kol shofar has that element of a kiyum tefillah. And therefore you have to make sure that it's replete with kavanas alev. It's not just simply an act of making sure that meticulously you heard every call. That certainly is true. But you have to make sure that every call counts, that it resonates, that it's impactful. It's not only a mitzvah tkiyah, but there's an element of the shmias hakol. And therefore you have to understand not only the seder hatkiyos, but what it is that shofar is supposed to represent. And here I would argue that there are two very, very different representations of shofar, and this reflects the essence of the Kedusha Sayyam, of the Yom HaDin. To what extent would one argue that Rosh Hashanah is a day of Simcha? I had mentioned yesterday, know that Rambam, Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Gimel Lachavav, the Rambam writes there's a certain tension, a certain balance, a certain dialectic when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. On the one hand, there you may hear of a fachat. No? There are awesome days. There are days that you approach with a certain hesitancy. But at the same time, there's an element of simcha. The Rambam writes that it's not simcha yaseira, it's not boundless simcha, like other Yom Tovim. But undeniably, there's a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah, clear in the Rambam. A person, Rachman al-Islam, is an avel, the avedos comes to an end because the onset of Rosh Hashanah. That's really unusual. On the one hand, Rosh Hashanah is a day of simcha. On the other hand, it's Yimei Yira v'facha. The Rosh writes in the very end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that's the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. For Umos HaOlam, a day of judgment is a day of avelos. For us, a Yom HaDin is a day of simcha. Why exactly is that true? Why would you say that a day of sentencing or a day of judgment is a time of simcha? You know why? Because whether a day of judgment is simcha or avelos depends on the dying. Who exactly is judging this particular case? if we're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem Hashem Korachum V'chanam, so therefore, you see the opportunity of Yom HaDin not simply as an obligation that you shy away from, but rather as an incredible privilege, a gift, an opportunity, a gift of tshuva, a gift of kapara. That's something which is so unusual. Imagine you enter into a business venture, and you know what? This is the deal. If you experience a windfall, that's great. And if everything goes bust and you lose your shirt, you know what? I'm going to guarantee. As long as you have charata, you know what? I'm going to see to it that you're not going to lose a penny. And if really you're earnest, tshuva me'ava, zdonos nasek zechuyos, you know, you'll experience that windfall. That's not a bad business deal, no? That's a win-win. If everything goes well, you gain. And if things don't, you'll gain as long as you have charata and kabbalas, no? So you'd run with that, no? That's the gift of tshuva. I would have thought that, you know what, that all is lost. A person commits a chait, and therefore he's chayiv. There's a yischayivus. All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that, you know what, I'm willing not simply to look the other way. I'm willing to transform an aveira into a mitzvah. As long as there's a sense of absolute tshuva me'ava, that's an incredible gift. And therefore, the Yemei HaDin are opportunities that a person welcomes. Now you begin Rosh Hashanah, you begin Yom Kippur with a brach of Shechianu. That's pretty unusual, no? Shechianu. The Sugyan Sukkah Daf Mem Vav, Shechianu is always associated with Simcha. You make a Shechianu on a Yom HaDin, the Sugyan Yom on Daf Pe'alev. You know what? A Day of Judgment, I would push it off, no? A Mitzvah Daraisa. To be mosif mechala kodesh. Now, to bring in the kedusha siyam of Yom Kippur at an earlier time. Yemei hadin, yemei rachamim. We embrace that opportunity, because you have to see that the Yom Hadin, as yes, an awesome obligation, yemei yira v'fachad, but also a time of absolute simcha. That's a difficult balance. But that's the balance of Tekiah Shofar. After all, what is the Tekiah supposed to represent? Well, the Torah tells us in Parshas Baloska, Uviyom Simchas, Moadechem, Rosh Hashechem, Utekatem. A Tekiah is something that embodies absolute simcha. So you blow the Tekiah, that's true. But now you have to blow a Shvarim, and you have to blow the true. And that, Yom Tru Yelachem, is Targum Rais, Yom Yevav Yehelachon, that represents absolute Bechiah. And a person who breaks down and cries, he does so in various ways. Moaning, short spurts, Gnuchei Gonach, Yulul Yalil, oh, a Shvarim, a Trua, a Shvarim and Trua. The broken sounds of the Shofar represent Bechiah. That's so unusual. That the Tekiah represents absolute Simcha. And the Shvarim and Trua represents Bechiah. But yeah, that's true of what Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are. They are serious moments that were challenged to be Chozer B'tshuva. And that's Yom Yavav Yehelechon. But that opportunity is absolutely striking. And I'll tell you that sometimes, as difficult as it appears, that Shvarim and Trua, this is Yom Yavav Yehelechon, just to recognize that that is not the history. That's not the destiny of Knesset Yisrael. The history and the destiny of Knesset Yisrael is Simcha. And guess what? You can never have a standalone Shvarim and Trua. It always has to be sandwiched. It always has to be surrounded by a Pshuta Lefaneha, a Pshuta Lachareha. You can't just blow the Shvarim and Trua. But you have to recognize, no, it's surrounded. It's surrounded. Because even during that window of Shvarim and Trua, but recognize the next step, you can link in, you can tap into the Tekiah, even at that moment of a Yom Yavav Yehelachon. But if I were to be asked, you know, that what really is the Ikar Avodas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah? The Torah doesn't refer to it as a Yom Tekiah. but as a Yom Teshuva. It means the seriousness of the call, to Teshuva. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu awaits. There's a stunning comment of the Medrash in Parshas Hazinu. The Medrash is bothered by the following, the various terms that you find in Tanakh for hearing. Hazinu ha-shamayim v'adabera v'sishma ha-aretz. Ha'azana and shmiya. Hazinu ha-shamayim v'sishma. What exactly is the difference between one and the other? When do you use the term of ha'azana? When do you use the term of shmiya? Both mean simply to hear. Well, when I look at that pasuk, hazinu ha-shamayim, directed toward shamayim, that's ha'azana. V'sishma ha'aretz, that's shmiya. Ooh, but the Medrash writes, look in the very beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, Perek Aleph. No, the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon. No. Shimu Shamayim Vezini Eretz. An absolute flip. There, Shmin HaZan is used in the opposite sense. Now, so which is it? Which is directed toward Shamayim? Which is directed toward Eretz? Ooh, so the Medrash writes the following teretz. You know what the difference is? Hazana means something that is up close. Up close. You hear a sound, and there's a sense of immediacy, a sense of closeness. Sometimes you hear something at a distance. At a distance. A distant voice, when I hear that sound, that's called shmiya. When I hear something that's up close, person, that's Hazan. Hazan is Bekarov and Shmi is Rachik. Well, and the Midrash writes, that's exactly the answer. When Moshe Rabbeinu declared Parshas Hazinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, where was Moshe Rabbeinu? The Midrash, no? Moshe Rabbeinu was Vashamayim, being Mekabel the Torah. So therefore, Hazinu Hashamayim, the Haaretz was very distant. When Yeshaya Hanavi experienced Nevuah, where was that? He was here on this earth. Great Nevuah, but he was positioned here in this world. And therefore, Shimu Shamayim, Bazini Aretz. The immediate sound was Al Haaretz. The more distant sound is Shamayim. That's the Yesod of the Medrash Rabbah. Ha'azana is Karo, and Shmiya is Rachok. So when Chazal coined the Nusach, our reference when it comes to Tkiyah Shofar, Ki atah shomea kol shofar u'mazintru, mazintru. When it comes to generally the kol shofar, yes, it's something that's heard. But sometimes there's a distance, there's a gap. But true is the broken sounds of the Yom Yavav Elohim. That is not something that's distant. That kaviyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears up close in the most personal way. And therefore, yes, shomea kol shofar, but mazin true. And therefore, that's the key to the avodah sayom. And that is part of the challenge of the Yemei Hadin. When you look at that Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva, the Rambam writes that what exactly is the difficulty? You know, a person has such an opportunity to be able to chozer b'tshuva, to kind of rewrite history. So what is the impediment? What is it that somehow serves as a blockade that somehow impedes our ability to be able to do so? The Rambam writes a stunning line. No? The Rambam writes that because the reality is, shofachin es ha'emes b'havlei hazman. That's the Lashon HaRambam. It's pretty incredible, no? People get so caught up in heva, in havlei hazman, that it causes them to forget the ultimate truth. People become so preoccupied with that which is meaningless, with things, that you become derailed and you fail to recognize the most important things in life. The Rambam writes, that's the summation of the challenge of the Yom Noraim. You know, you live in a society where everything is about things, and it's very easy to get caught up in that. And when you're caught up in the Hevle Hazman, you know what? You can discard the most important things in life. You can discard Malchus, Akronos, and Shalfros for things. Things that have no inherent value at all. And somehow, that can allow a person to go through the Yemei Hadin without recognizing the opportunity that we have. And that is the balance of Yom Noraim. On the one hand, Yerba Fachad, on the other hand, a day of Simcha. You know, in the yeshivas of Sum Pompadisa, they used to say Moed in the Simcha, Chagim Zman in the Sasa. They used to say that, right? On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we follow the minhag of Haigal. No, Dvar Chemes V'Kaim Lad. We don't overtly mention Simcha. We don't recite an absolute Hallel. But recognize that that really is the challenge. To be able to see Yom Hadin as an opportunity that gives rise to absolute Simcha. And that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Dayan. You know, we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, during the times of Rosh Yom Kippur as Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu. A very different reference, no? If one were to ask me in terms of Basav Adam, what's the difference between an Av and a Melech? I will tell you the following. An Av, a parent, is a model of an individual who is willing, one who is willing to do whatever they can for their children. A parent is always willing to. But you know, a parent is not always able, not always empowered. A melech is a very different model. A melech has the capacity, has the power of the throne too. But you know what? If I go before a melech is able, but a melech is not always willing to be so concerned, to accommodate. That's a very different challenge. You know, an av, a parent, is always willing to, but not always capable of. A melech is capable, but not always understanding. But what about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kulo Tov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKol Yachol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely capable of everything and anything, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kulo Tov. And therefore, that's an unusual confluence, unusual convergence of Avinu, of Avinu Malkeinu. It's unusual, no? You know, Tosus writes in Pesachim Nesukim Daf Kuf Ches, that Mikar Hadin, you know, you're at a Seder. You're at a Seder. And you have the Seder with your parents. Are you able to do Haseba? The answer is yes. You do Haseba. Let's assume you're in the presence of your Rebbe. The default position is that you don't do Haseba. Bifnei Rabo, no. Bifnei Aviv, yes. Tosos raised the issue. And what happens? Oh, you're Zoche. It's Aviv Rabo. The same person. Is the Rebbe and the Av. You have a bit of a tension, no? Do you have to do Haseba or don't do Haseba? So Tosos writes, of course do Haseba. Of course do Haseba. Now, if you have that convergence, you have that confluence of, so therefore, you do Haseba. Right? The Midas Ha'av, that's the Koveya. That's the Koveya. Even if it so happens that it's an Av and a Rebbe, I would tell you that's Avinu Malkeinu. You reckon that's true? You know, in a certain sense that a melech shemach al klodo in kvodam ocho. But an av shemach al klodo, of course, kvodam ocho. And therefore, when you have Avinu Malkeinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to be moch. But dear Shor Hashem b'imotza, you have to take the right steps. You have to see to it that you position yourself. And if you position yourself, therefore, you know what? That the Mechaber, Ochlin v'shosin u'smeichim ve'ein yisanin. Right? There's a chiyuv suda on Rosh Hashanah. You don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh, you were begonim chashuv on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us with the midas harachamim, and even if we're not fully deserving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to grant us kapara. What greater sense of simcha that a person is absolved, even if they're not fully worthy of, but you have to seize the moment. You have to take advantage of these opportunities. What is true of the two elements of Rosh Hashanah is true of the two elements of Tekiah Shofar. And that, I would tell you, is all embedded in Zichron Shul. It's not merely a Yom Shul, hear the kolos. Of course, that's necessary. But make sure that the kolos are heard. Make sure that Tekiah Shofar is not just a Gzeres HaKosuv, but rather it's a Mishpat Lokeyako. It's an opportunity to be able to become that much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as B'nai Yeshiva, it behooves us to seize these moments, seize this opportunity. You know, perhaps in the course of a year, you know, it's easy to become somewhat derailed. But you know, you have an opportunity to start fresh. You have an opportunity to redirect. You have an opportunity to rewrite the past of Zdonos, Nasek, Isichuyos. What fool wouldn't take full advantage of this matana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us? And that is the solemn quality of Tekiah Shofar. Not merely a mitzvah of Tekiah, like matzah is a mitzvah sachila, but rather it's part of our Avodah Shebaleil, hand in hand with Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. It's an incredible opportunity that we have to seize. Give thought to how it is that you're going to take full advantage of the opportunities of the Yom Noraim. What your mindset should be, what resolutions you could think of. That Bli Neder, you know, in the coming Zman, in the coming year, you know, I'm going to see to it that those things, the Hevli Hazman that got in the way, are not going to prevent me from recognizing the absolute emes. Because no doubt, this is a challenge of the society that we live in. Society is so free. Society is so plentiful. Society allows us to tap into every element of luxury and opportunity. But you have to be very vigilant. Make sure that not guilty, as the Rambam writes, of shochichin esa emes v'havli hazman. Right, as the Yom Noraim approach, right, be mindful of the challenge and the opportunity that we have. See Tekiah Shofar not just simply as an obligation, as a chok, but rather as a mishpat, an opportunity to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but make sure it's replete, it's invested with the absolute earnest kavanas aleih. That make sure that we allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu not simply to hear our call at a distance, but to do everything we can to see to it of Dir Shu Hashem B'Matzah, that it's the midah of Ha'azana, because we feel as though we're within the Dalai Lama's of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, even after the Yemei Hadin pass, that this will be the new normal, the new beginning of a time of incredible Siyata Deshmaya, a time of incredible growth in Avas HaTorah, in Asik Patara, and in Yiras Hashem.